Israel as a sermon series once a year. And this year, I want to have one biblical figure. It's Jacob. From today, we will have a sermon series on Jacob, who was the father of the nation Israel. So let's think about that. We have so many kinds, so many ways to communicate. You can make a phone call, and you have a cell phone. You can text, and you can email. And what about writing a note or book? And I have a pencil. I can write them down on my iPad. We have so many. And sometimes I feel like we are surrounded by so much news and writing on the internet. Too much. We have too much information, so we need to be careful. We need to know if it is true or not. But what about many, many years ago? What about the time in the Old Testament? They didn't have a cell phone or a computer. They didn't have even a piece of paper. But we have hundreds of biblical figures and their stories in the Bible. Then how could it be even possible that we learn about those people? How do we know them? So I told you from today we will talk about Jacob from the book of Genesis. Like many other stories, Jacob's story was told orally, usually around campfire for hundreds of years before it was finally written down. So it was like after supper, children came to their father or grandfather and they said, "Daddy, Daddy, or grandfather, grandfather, tell us about the story of Jacob. Tell us about the story about Esau." And the father or grandfather, the patriarch of the family, they began to say, "Long, long, long time ago, a man named Jacob once lived." And they went on to tell the story. And the children, they would be delighted. So these stories were meant to entertain kids and teach them their history and identity, because Jacob was the father of the nation Israel, and his name changed by God, Israel, it became the nation's title name. So when they listened to Jacob's story, they were learning something about their history and themselves. And Jacob's story helped them define who they would be whenever they look at what Jacob had done, something wrong. They learned something about what they should avoid doing. Whenever they look at some places he did something right, they learned how to live their lives before God. And in his relationship with God, they understood God's calling in their lives hundreds of years later. So Jacob's story, it was probably written after 450 years after the time of Jacob. Probably even later than that. Because we think a lot of stories of the first five books of the Bible that was written by Moses or the people in Moses' time and later. And Moses came about 450 years after the time of Jacob. It was their grandfather's story. For those future generations who lived in a time Israel was a nation, this story, it was not about one person who lived many years ago, but about their country and their neighbor countries as well, especially their enemy, Edomite. So with this sermon series, I'm going to tell you about Jacob's story like a drama each Sunday is an act of drama, and each one has a couple of scenes. So here, act one and scene one, the birth of Jacob and Esau. So Isaac was Jacob's father, and Isaac and Rebekah, they got married, and for about 20 years, they wanted to have a child, but there was no child. So the story of Jacob and Esau begins with Isaac, their father, praying for Rebekah. God, please remember this lady, precious lady, beautiful lady, and please grant us a child. And Rebekah prayed as well, and Rebekah conceived. And about 9 months later, she found herself in great pain. Of course, it was almost due time. And at the point, she thought she was going to die, and she prayed to God, God, what is wrong with me? What's happening to me? Then she received this word from the Lord. We find that in our scripture reading. God says, two nations are in your womb, and the two people born of you shall be divided. One shall be stronger than the other, and older shall serve the younger. So that was a great revelation to her. Now she knows why she had a great pain. Twin. The twin. And the twin, they were even wrestling with each other in her womb. And these two nations, who would be ultimately fighting against, are already wrestling in the womb. Two boys. They will be the fathers of two nations. And Rebekah, she learned that older would serve the younger. That's unusual in all the time. That was a very unusual thing in the Bible time, and even in our time, right? If you have older brothers, you know what it means. I have one brother older than me. I don't know how many times I cooked for him. A lot. So usually, younger one served the older. But we find many stories. God tends the root for the weak, the small, and the last. And today we have the younger that God has chosen. It's Jacob. God has chosen Jacob to be the one to carry on the promise that God had made to Abraham and Isaac. So here, we learn from this story. God can use every one of us, you and me. God can use you and me. I don't know why it is not working, but if you think you are not enough, we have Jacob today. And throughout the entire Bible, God is choosing many people like Jacob. Think about Moses. He was not able to speak well. He stuttered. And he spoke to God, God, please, I don't think that I can do that. Please find somebody else. But God chose him to be the great leader of the country who brought his people out of the land of Egypt. And what about King David? He was the youngest one of Jesse. When the high priest Samuel came to find one of Jesse's sons to anoint him to be the king, Jesse, he didn't even count David because he was the youngest one, too small. But God chose David to be the great leader. We have so many stories in the Bible like that. God has chosen. And Jesus says, the first will be the last. The last will be the first. And the greatest among you will be your servant. So we learn two things from the story. The first, no matter how you think about yourself, God can use you. God can use you and me for for something remarkable. And the second one is, because of God's miraculous work, we ought to be humble in our faith journey. And this is the common theme in the Bible. So Jacob and Esau, we find these two people will be born of Rebekah, and they will be the fathers of two nations. When the twins were finally born, this is what we find in our scripture reading. It says, when a time to give birth was at hand, there were twins in her womb. So the first came out red. Interesting. Just think about that. Whenever you see a baby born, do you say, oh, it's red? No, we simply say, oh, it's adorable, it's beautiful, it's pretty. But it says, it's red. Okay, Esau, it's red. And all his body like a hairy mantle. Oh, not just red, hairy. So his name, they named him Esau. Huh. And we find the humor in the Bible now. Remember, the Israelites, they were telling the story about the people downside their enemy, the Edomite. And Esau was the father of the Edomite. And they are talking about the enemy. And it's kind of insulting with the name. Do you know what Esau means? It's all hairy. Everywhere, your head and beard and your body, hairy. So it is like insulting the enemy. You know what? When your father Esau was born, he was so hairy. So his mother used a dog shamp or cat shamp to wash him. It was like insulting the enemies. That's kind of the story Israelite understood at the time. Imagine that. Children, they knew what that means. And they would have been giggling when they heard this story. He was hairy, so they called him Esau. And then Jacob was born. He was holding onto the heel of his brother. Can you picture that? The twin, they are coming out, and he holds his brother's heel. It is like, come on, back in here. I'm coming out first, not you. I'm gonna beat you. And he was holding his brother's heel. So he got his name, Jacob, which means holding the heel. What an unusual name, Jacob, holding the heel. It is like today, pulling somebody's leg. Then what does that mean when you say pulling somebody's leg? It's like, are you pulling my legs? And it's like, are you kidding me? Are you trying to trick me? So Jacob's name, it means trickster. So we have hairy, red hairy, and trickster. They are the twins. And again, children at the time, they were giggling because these were their language and they knew what those names meant. And that's the one we don't know today. Maybe you can find that in your footnote in your Bible. So now we have Harry and Trickster, born of one person, Rebecca. And we know what story is following the story. After their birth, it was about Esau selling his birthright with a piece of bread and a bowl of soup. Act 1, scene 2. And what kind of person trade his birthright with just one meal? It's Esau. So when we think about the birthright, we can simply imagine the father's blessing. Yes, a father's blessing is really important, and it's one of the father's, birthright. And we will talk about the other ones next week, but today I want to talk about his father's blessing. It is not just a blessing. It was deathbed blessing. In the Bible, the deathbed blessing has absolute power. When a father is dying, he places his hand on his child, especially usually the firstborn, and he pronounces blessing. And that blessing has power in the Bible. And it has the power to shape the future of the child. And here is the second point that I want to emphasize today. Your blessing and your prayers for your children and grandchildren have great power over their future. It is not just about their protection and their future job opportunity. Yes, we need to pray for that. But the thing more important than that, it is their faith journey. How they grow up and live their lives with God. How they walk their journey with God. How they follow Jesus Christ so that finally they become someday genuine and authentic disciples of Jesus Christ. At the beginning of the sermon, I mentioned about how the story of Jacob was handed down for about at least 450 years. They didn't have a paper, or laptop, or internet. It was about 4,000 years ago. In their family, their father, mother, grandfather, and grandmother, they told their children and grandchildren about how God worked in their ancestors' life and how God is working in their lives. It is not like lecture one or lecture two. It was like a sweet dialogue about God. So I want to wrap it up. But first, let me just remind you, God can use you and me for something remarkable, for God's work. And your blessings, the second, your blessings for your children has power. Your prayers for your children has power for their future. During the week, our head usher, Jeff Cedro, sent me a text with a YouTube link. I really love that, and I want to share it with you. It's very nice, and the lyrics spoke a lot to me. So let's listen together. Somehow it's not working, clicker. One more.
Grandma used to pray out loud by your bed every night. To me it sounded like mumbling, like she was out of her mind. She said, boy, this kind of praying, it's what saved my life. You ought to try it sometime. And now I know she was right. She was talking to Jesus. She was talking to Jesus.
And the song continues. It says, Mama, now Mama, not Grandma, Mama used to drag me to church Sunday mornings and Wednesday night, khaki pants and a polo shirt, and I put up a fight. And she said, son, one day you will thank me for having God in your lives. And the singer continues, now I know she was right, because now I'm talking to Jesus. I love talking to Jesus. I don't know, in 10 years, I don't know how Ellie, Myla, Sadie will say about that. Having you in the church, having God in your lives. So I want to encourage you to talk about your faith journey with your family. It doesn't have to be highly religious or doctrine stuff. We can find our joys and concerns in our lives and share them with your family. And thank God for our lives and what we celebrate. Your words and prayers matter to your family, your friend, and your neighbors. And then we may manifest our faith in love. That's the lesson we may find from the first story of Jacob. God can use you and me, and we need to tell the story. And your prayers work. God listen to you. Amen.